The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Heart of Innovation, 60 minutes that could save life and limb with new breakthrough ideas and innovation changing the healthcare landscape. Brought to you by patient advocacy group, thewaytomyheart.org, in partnership with Cardiovascular System Incorporated's patient advocacy campaign, Take a Stand Against Amputation. Here are your hosts for the Heart of Innovation, Emmy Award-winning journalist and founder of The Way to My Heart, Kim McNicholas, and interventional cardiologist and founder of the Save My Piggies Health Education Series, Dr. John Phillips.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm with Dr. John Phillips. Remember to call in if you are listening live. Join the discussion. Write this number down, 1-888-367-5329. Join in the discussion, again, 1-888-367-5329. Today, we're going to talk about cutting-edge cardiovascular blood work, tests that could get to the heart of what may be damaging your arteries and increasing your risk of heart attack, stroke, and amputation. Get your questions ready. Write the number down one more time, 1-888-367-5329. Welcome, Dr. Phillips. Hello, hello.
Tim, how are you? This is going to be an awesome show.
I need inspiration today. I have COVID. So can you bring us some inspiration to get us motivated today?
Well, you know, I think we're going to kind of piggyback off of last week's quote. And this is a quote from a philosopher of 2,000 years ago, Epictetus. And he kind of he's talking about freedom right here. And this his quote is, "Freedom is the only worthy goal in life. It is won by disregarding things that lie beyond our control." So, you know, honestly, a lot of the blood work we get, cholesterol, triglycerides, things of that nature, we can control some of that. Some of it we can't control. So, you know, we control what you can control. But I hope you start to feel better with COVID. Sounds like you're getting over the hump here pretty soon.
I hope so, because honestly, everyone who's had it really feels for me right now, because you feel like you were hit by a Mack truck. I mean, it just knocks you flat out. But at least I got this sexy voice out of it.
Yes, we're pulling for you.
You got to have the positive. How was your week? Any big things happening?
You know, I had a good week this week. We treated a couple of folks with some DVTs that were a little bit complicated. You know, one of our future shows will have a show about pulmonary embolism and DVT. We're still seeing a lot of, we actually have had a little bit of an uptick in COVID hospitalizations in our health system.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's here to stay.
Are you finding that they're having cardiovascular complications because of it? Is that the reason, or is it purely pulmonary?
No, I mean, early on, we saw that uptick in kind of some vascular complications from it. But the biggest thing was patients not seeking medical attention and right. then having worsening of their critical limb ischemia or their PAD. But I think we've kind of got that message out that, hey, you still need to come to the doctor for X, Y, and Z. Another big thing, too, that our health system has been pushing is making sure you still get your cancer screenings despite what's going on in the world right. with this pandemic.
Right. That's so important. And making sure you, when you're talking about any sort of screenings, making sure you're getting also the proper blood work at a time to see if you're at risk for cardiovascular disease, for diabetes, for PAD, peripheral artery disease, which 3 in 5 people, of course, we always talk about who suffer a heart attack, have this restricted blood flow in the legs, the leg arteries due to plaque buildup. With us, we have Dr. Michael Danziger, a medical director of Boston Heart Diagnostics, which offers cutting edge blood work for cardiovascular health. He also created a well-known diabetes reversal program for Tufts University. And he developed, check this out, he developed the Diet for a Hit show, The Biggest Loser. That's really cool.
Nice. Dr. Danziger, I'm excited to hear about that.
Me too. And you know, I have to start. I want to say hi to Dr. Danziger first, and then I'm going to tell you why I even found Boston Heart Diagnostics and Dr. Danziger. Hi, doctor.
Hi, Kim. So much. Thank you so much for inviting me to participate in your show today. And Dr. Phillips, I really look forward to a dialogue about heart disease, PAD, blood testing that we do at Boston Heart. So thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is my dad, who's sitting here with me right now, we both have COVID. So you'll hear one of us sniffling, the other one coughing. And, you know, it might be a little chorus between the two of us. But he ended up with heart disease. And when we went to the registered dietitian, she said, you need to get advanced blood work. I'm not going to figure out exactly which diet you should be on until we do advanced blood work. So she had one of her doctors order a full range of advanced testing from Boston Heart Diagnostics. They sent a nurse over to the house. They drew his blood, vials upon vials of blood. They were vampires. And they sent like this 50-page booklet afterwards. And I might be exaggerating a little bit, but it was this big booklet that explained all of the results, exactly what he needed to do to lower or raise certain blood results. And we were able to work with the dietitian to create the proper supplementation and proper diet for him. And in a matter of 3 years, we were able to reverse his cholesterol. We were able to also reverse his diabetes. And we were able to stall his plaque progression. And his cardiologist is blown away. So that's why I wanted to share with what Boston Heart Diagnostics is doing and the importance of cutting edge cardiovascular blood work.
I'm so glad to be with Boston Heart Diagnostics. I really look forward to talking about my work there. And most importantly, it's about the patients. And your dad is such an inspiration and inspirational story. And it just, you know, that's why we do this. You know, that's why I became a doctor, to make a difference and to know that Boston Heart has helped you and your dad to live your best lives. It really means a lot.
Yeah. And my dad here. So all, should we throw a couple questions just out to him, open it up just because he now can't get the blood work because they stopped actually offering it because the doctors couldn't read it, which still blows my mind.
Yep. The doctors for the health group here in Marin told me that the report was too complex for them to understand. And if I can understand it, it reads sort of like, as I look at it, a third grade comic book, because it has all these pretty pictures and understanding and graphs and charts and bold print to explain to you what you need to do or what you shouldn't be doing to take care of your health. And I said, if I can understand it, I don't know why people with medical degrees and cardiologists don't understand it, because they used to do it. But that was what the reason was given to me by cardiologist at Marin Health.
And
I think that's an interesting comment, right? So, Dr. Danziger, give us a 30,000 foot view of kind of the testing that you guys offer. You know, as a cardiologist, I typically focus on lipids, and so HDL, LDL, total cholesterol, triglycerides. And anytime I have a patient that has a lot of, you know, premature coronary disease, and we've put stents in and their lipids are, quote, out of whack, I kind of defer them right to a lipidologist. Is that the right pathway to go?
And hold that thought. We're going to go to break, and he's going to answer it right when we come back. So stay with us. I love those cliffhangers.
Leg health can indicate risk for heart attack, stroke, and amputation. If you have leg pain or cramps while walking, get checked for peripheral artery disease, or PAD. PAD is plaque buildup in mainly the leg arteries. Be sure to ask your physician for an ankle brachial index, also called an ABI test, where they use blood pressure cuffs to analyze the blood pressure in your legs. If they discover you have arterial plaque that's limiting blood flow to your feet, medicine and a regimented walking program are frontline treatment. If PAD is in its
advanced stages, your physician may schedule a surgical intervention. Minimally invasive tools are available to remove plaque and restore blood flow, including Cardiovascular Systems Diamondback 360 atherectomy system, which sands away plaque that is a hard calcium. It's important to discuss all options with your physician, and if told you have no options, get a second opinion. Take a stand against amputation. For more information, go to standagainstamputation.com. That's standagainstamputation.com.
Welcome back to the Heart of Innovation. For more on today's topic, go to theheartofinnovation.org. That's theheartofinnovation.org. Once again, here's Emmy Award-winning journalist Kim McNicholas and interventional cardiologist Dr. John Phillips.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Again, please call in 1-888-367-5329. So Dr. Dancing and I were kind of just starting our conversation about cholesterol. And before we went into that break, I was asking him, what are his thoughts about, number one, kind of keeping it simple for patients and what type of blood cholesterol screening tests we should get, when we should start doing those, and then maybe kind of diving into some of the more complex tests that are available?
Yeah, all great questions. Thanks so much for asking those. And I think we all recognize that cholesterol is a major issue when it comes to arteries getting clogged up. But it's not as simple as just telling a patient whether they have high cholesterol, yes or no, and if yes, giving them drugs to lower it. That would be sort of a blunt, one-size-fits-all solution, and I kind of wish it was that simple, but it's not. And you know, the good news is we have a much better understanding of why arteries get clogged up than we used to. In fact, 50 years ago, they didn't even know that cholesterol was an issue. But now we know that there's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol and different, you know, variations of cholesterol. And there's, you know, a lot going on in the arteries. And if we can use blood testing to understand all the different various issues that are combining to clog up the arteries, then we can see which ones are a problem and fix them patient by patient. So we can't just throw, you know, statin drugs at everyone and say the problem is solved. We need to really see clearly what's going on so that we can understand it. So I will say that the types of blood testing that we do at Boston Heart are very much more sophisticated than what is typically done in a regular doctor's office. So let me say that there's sort of seven main categories of things we can look at using the blood tests. So let me list those seven things. So one is to look in the blood at the types of particles that are causing artery damage. Another one is to understand the source of high cholesterol. Another one is to understand the system that's eliminating cholesterol from the body. Another one is to look at the different types of fats that are circulating around in the blood. Another is to look at all the risk factors for diabetes that can be measured in the blood. Another is to look at all the different types of inflammation in the blood. And
right, not just CRP, which is measured, but LPPLA2, which is, you have the CRP, which is general inflammation, but LPPLA2 is specific to the inflammation in the arteries.
Absolutely. And then lastly is the genetics. So there are some genetics that really help shed light on how to move forward. So these are sort of seven categories of different types of valuable tests that all affect the way that doctors and patients can work together to minimize peripheral artery disease and heart disease.
So just to kind of keep it simple, right? Like, yeah, how many of your patients that you see, does everyone need all these complex tests, or when do you start screening patients for just general cholesterol management or to see if they're elevated, or does everybody get this battery?
So not everyone needs sophisticated testing for to understand artery damage. The patients who have known artery damage, whether it's in their heart or in their brain or in their legs, the more urgent the patient's situation is for their arteries, I think the more valuable this testing is. And so in a middle-aged adult without a lot of cardiovascular risk factor, you know, known risk, I don't think that this test has this sophisticated testing does not have as much of a role as in people with known vascular disease. Having said that, we know there's a lot of people in the middle ground who haven't had a heart attack yet or at risk for amputation. We want to catch them early before they're in dire circumstances. And so there's a lot of importance to using this for prevention before it's too late.
Like, for example, with my dad, he was told by his primary care physician that there was no need to do any advanced testing despite his chest pain because his cholesterol in a basic lipid panel was normal. And it wasn't until we performed an advanced lipid panel that we discovered that it wasn't about the quantity of bad cholesterol. It was about the quality. You have large, fluffy LDL particles, the bad cholesterol, and you have these small, dense LDL particles that when they become oxidized by trans fats and free radicals and all of that, they tend to get into trouble, right? They can sneak into the damage that's in your arteries and push that artery wall out to create a narrowing. And that's really what was going on with my dad. And so he had a very, very high number of these small particles that we had to flush them out. But then it became an issue of, is it a liver production problem or is it a cholesterol reabsorption problem? And I'll let Dr. Danziger explain a little bit more about that because that's the limit of my expertise.
So those are numbers 1 and 2 on my list out of 7. So the most important is to understand the different, the particles that are causing the artery damage are mainly cholesterol particles. And some of the particles of cholesterol, picture tiny, microscopic spheres or balls. And some of those are sticky and do damage. And so if you just measure someone's cholesterol level and just say, oh, I have a cholesterol of 200, what does that mean? Well, that's not enough. You need to know how much of that is the small sticky ones that are doing the damage. And once you see that, and once you control that to minimize the number of the small sticky cholesterol particles, then you've done your job. If you can't, if you don't know what's going on with the cholesterol particles that are doing the true damage, then I don't think you're seeing what you need to see. And you're not done until you've got those minimized, in my view. And so, yes, the blood testing that we do shows you how much of the particles are the small sticky ones that are doing the damage. So that's just one of many examples you can see with specialized testing. The other one you mentioned, Kim, is if someone has too much of the unhealthy cholesterol, knowing whether that's coming from the liver, which produces cholesterol, or knowing whether that's mainly from the intestines, which absorb cholesterol, really affects the way you treat the patient. About a third of the patients out there are what we call cholesterol overabsorbers. I happen to be one of them. And if you just use cholesterol-lowering medication that affects the liver, like statins, then you're blocking cholesterol production from the liver, but you're actually worsening cholesterol absorption from the intestine. And so the treatments, whether it's medications or supplements or even the dietary prescription, can really be informed well by understanding the source of high cholesterol.
Thank you so much, Dr. Danziger. We have to go to break, and we have several people that are on the phone right now that we have to get to. If you want to call in and ask Dr. Danziger any questions, 1-888-367-5329. That's 888-367-5329. We'll be right back.
Medical Notepad, brought to you by patient advocacy organizations, Take a Stand Against Amputation and The Way to My Heart.
Hello, my name is Dr. Ramsey Abadir. I'm with American Endovascular in Fishkill, New York. And the question is, when should you be worried about numbness or tingling that happens in the legs? Of course, everybody can experience numbness or tingling, even if you sit the wrong way and have pressure on the back of your legs for a long time, and you wake up with that or get up with that numbness in your legs. However, if you have numbness in the leg that persists over days, or especially if it's associated with a cold sensation in your legs or a temperature difference between your legs, that's more worrisome, that something underlying may be going on and you should be evaluated. It may be something as simple as, again, changing your stockings or a compression. However, if there are other diseases such as diabetes or peripheral vascular disease that are going on, that should be evaluated and treated accordingly.
Medical Notepad is a series for educational and informational purposes only. Advice offered is not a substitute for medical advice from your own supervising physician. Do not act on any information provided in this series without the explicit consent from your own healthcare team. For more information on peripheral artery disease, go to standagainstamputation.com. For peripheral artery disease support, go to thewaytomyheart.org.
Welcome back to the Heart of Innovation. For more on today's topic, go to theheartofinnovation.org. That's theheartofinnovation.org. Once again, here's Emmy Award-winning journalist Kim McNicholas and interventional cardiologist Dr. John Phillips.
So we're back. We're going to continue our conversation about cholesterol and advanced blood work. We've got a couple of callers on the line here. Susan from Massachusetts, welcome to the show. Do you have a question for Dr. Danziger?
Hi. Yes, I have a question about cholesterol and the need for statins. Is that a question for...
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Danziger or Dr. Phillips?
We'll take them. Yeah.
That is right on point.
Okay. Right. My primary care physician has always been satisfied with my cholesterol levels, and I do have some numbers. But my cardiologist put me on a high dose of a statin. He's trying to keep everything low so that I don't run into problems with my peripheral artery disease. My question is, how do I know whether or not I need the statins? I've never been off the charts high.
Great question. Dr. Danziger, what do you think?
Great question. So... You can't...
I've never been off the charts high.
Yeah, so...
Thank you, Susan.
That's a great question. So I'll share my viewpoint, and I'd love to hear what Dr. Phillips has to say as well. For someone with artery disease, it's very important to minimize the particles that are causing the damage. And the... statin drugs like Lipitor, for example, are terrific for lowering the levels. And in my view, you push it quite low and you be assertive about it. And in almost all cases of individuals with peripheral vascular disease or heart disease who have known artery damage, a statin is going to get you where you need to be. Versus without the statins. So I think almost all patients benefit from the statins, but how low do you go? And that's up for debate. But in my view, I think most all of the evidence shows the lower, the better. And so I propose being aggressive. It's better to push those LDL levels, and especially the small dense LDL level, quite low.
Boston Heart Diagnostics has a statin sensitivity test. How does that play in?
About one-fourth of people have a mild case of statin sensitivity due to their genetics, and about 4% of people have a severe case of statin sensitivity due to their genetics. So what I mean by that is about a quarter of the people have a gene for, you know, a genetics that puts them at increased risk for statin sensitivity. It doesn't mean they have statin sensitivity. You know that just by your symptoms. So if a patient has symptoms of aches in their muscles, maybe it's due to the statin, maybe it's not. And knowing whether you have the gene that predisposes to that or not can be very informative. And if you have a combination of the symptoms and the gene that predisposes to you, then you start looking at an alternative approach, like maybe a little less of the statin and maybe a little more of a cholesterol absorption blocking medication or some other approach. There's different types of statins too. And rosuvastatin is an example of one, or known as Crestor. That's one that's more favorable for people who have those genetics.
You know, for my dad, he had the cholesterol reabsorption issue, and we just pumped up that high soluble fiber and got him on some supplements. And I know that, frankly, I'm just going to say it, he had to poop more. I mean, no joke. That's literally what happened. Women are supposedly have a bowel movement 2 to 3 times a day, men 3 to 4. And once he started literally increasing that, his numbers dropped significantly and dramatically.
Yes. Dr. Phillips, I'd be interested in your perspective on that caller's question.
Yeah. I mean, so as an interventional cardiologist, folks that are coming to see me typically have coronary disease or peripheral arterial disease. So in that patient population, I try to push, to your point, their LDL as low as possible. You know, our guidelines are less than 70. The European, I think, are less than 55. But in my opinion, the lower, the better. And those that don't have documented or diagnosed coronary disease, but are at increased risk for developing it. And I think in our next segment, we're going to talk about the highest risk subset of patients with those that have diabetes, but those that are at risk, you know, we have a risk calculator and we can figure out what their 10-year risk is. And if it's elevated, I think there's good data to suggest starting them on a medication to help reduce their LDL levels as well.
Well, we'll have more about this topic coming up in just a moment right here on the Heart of Innovation. We have other callers on the line, so we are going to get to those in just a moment. So stay with us.
Okay.
Hey everyone, my name is Dr. David Alper, and I'm here once again with the weightinmyheart.org's footnotes. And today we're going to talk about summer feet. Why are we talking about summer feet? Well, because it's summer, and it's a wonderful time of the year to let your feet out and breathe as you're enjoying yourself in the sun, at the beach, or at parks. But you want to make sure you do it safely so that you don't take a pleasant time and turn it into a problem. The first thing you want to do is sunscreen. We all know that it's important to put it on our faces, our arms, our hands, our chests as we're in the sun to protect ourselves from problems. The tops of your feet is some of the thinnest skin on the body, and all too often people don't go all the way down. You want to make sure you use the same sunscreen you do for the rest of your body to protect yourself. And when you get home at the end of the day, moisturize, 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 especially the bottoms of the feet. Running around all day in the open hot air dries your skin out. Speaking of running around, barefoot is really not the way to go. It is a dangerous world out there, and especially for people with circulation issues from PAD, diabetes, or other causes. These, however, are not something to spend all day in. Because they have no back, the only way you keep them on is by gripping, and it's really easy to trip and fall or step out of them, especially if you do not have sensations. Doesn't mean you have to wear shoes all day, simply sandals with a back strap. This backstrap keeps it on your foot and still allows the foot to be able to be out of the air and explore. If you have some dry skin, A little bit of a buffing stone is the way to go. Do not go deeply with things. If you do walk barefoot and you find yourself step on something, the first thing you want to do if you can is find a pen and draw a circle around where that thing went into your foot. Because as you walk on it, that hole can close, makes it harder to find. This is the time to go to a podiatrist or another medical professional. Do not go digging by yourself, especially if you have circulation issues. And sea urchins and things like that often have prongs. And if you try to pull them out, you're just either going to break it or you're going to tear your skin more. It's really time for the professional. If you get a cut, you treat it like any other cut in the sense that you clean it, you cover it with a topical antibiotic, you bandage it, and you keep an eye on it. If it turns red, if it starts to weep, if it starts to get an odor, once again, get yourself to the podiatrist. If you do these simple things, summer should be fun, summer should be safe. For further information, go to the American Diabetes Association at ADA.org, the American Podiatric Medical Association at APMA.org, and of course, thewaytomyheart.org. This is Dr. David Alper. We'll see you for the next footnotes.
Welcome back to the Heart of Innovation. For more on today's topic, go to theheartofinnovation.org. That's theheartofinnovation.org. Once again, here's Emmy Award-winning journalist Kim McNicholas and interventional cardiologist Dr. John Phillips.
Again, for joining us again, we're continuing our discussion on cholesterol and advanced blood work. Kay, you have a question for us. You have diabetes as well, and presumably have some issues with cholesterol. What's on your mind?
I have diabetes. In the UK, we don't have pre-diabetes. You're either diabetic or you're not. And there is no advanced lipid panel available in the UK. Even to get your triglyceride numbers and to get what we is very old-fashioned, but we class as VLDL, is really pushing your doctor as far as you can get. And I'm just wondering how soon something like the technology and the blood work profile that you have, Mr. Doctor, would be available in the UK.
Oh, thank you so much for asking that question. You know, so one point you made is diabetes, which we all know is an important manageable risk factor for peripheral vascular disease and heart disease. And the other is the need to get this blood testing to the UK and abroad. So much of the sophisticated blood testing that we're talking about uses special equipment that we have at Boston Heart. And we're in the United States only at this time, but we're looking for a way to bring it worldwide and to you and your patients, Kay. And we're very close to launching testing that uses drops of blood from your fingertip that go onto a card that you can mail to our lab. And
wow,
that, especially with a doctor's order, could really revolutionize the ability to get this kind of specialized testing to patients worldwide. So we're very excited about that, and we're still a couple steps away from being able to offer that worldwide. But we're ready in the United States to launch fingertip testing for a lot of the sophisticated testing we're talking about. Can I share some of the sophisticated testing we do for diabetes?
Sure.
So for diabetes, it's well recognized that the blood sugar level and the hemoglobin A1C levels, which tells how sugar-coated your blood are mainstream and done, you know, in all labs. But insulin levels in the blood are very valuable, especially when they're paired with glucose levels at the same time. So when you do glucose and insulin at the same time in a fasting specimen, that can tell you a lot about your pancreas function and your insulin resistance. And so if you can measure and treat insulin resistance, and insulin resistance responds well to weight loss and lifestyle changes, including dietary changes, and insulin production responds to, which we can tell from the combination of glucose and insulin. So the pancreas produces the hormone insulin, and we can see, using that blood test, we can see damage to the pancreas and poor pancreas function long before it turns into diabetes, even before it's pre-diabetes. And so at Boston Heart, I and our colleagues developed something called the beta cell risk index and the beta cell function and risk index. And using a glucose and an insulin, I can tell you, compared to other people, whether you're at 100% or 50% or 25%, someone with type 1 diabetes would have like 1 or 2% of their pancreas function. Someone with type 1 diabetes would have almost no pancreas function. Someone with type 2 diabetes might have 40% or 25% function, and knowing where you are and using medications and the right lifestyle prescription to manage your pancreas function, you can really improve, and you can improve your insulin production, and you can delay diabetes dramatically. So that is an important but simple test that we offer.
So two comments on that. Is that more valuable than the, you know, the hemoglobin A1C levels that we're getting to see what your glucose has been over the past, you know, 3 months? And then the second question I have is, based on what you just said, I've noticed like commercials for this thing you put underneath your, and like your triceps area that measures your blood glucose levels, and there's an app to it. And I initially thought that was just for folks with diabetes, but I'm getting the sense that it's a means to measure glucose levels throughout the day for folks that don't have diabetes.
Yeah, great question. So no, the hemoglobin A1C is the most important test for diabetes by far. It tells you if you have prediabetes or how well you're doing with your diabetes. But let's give that the gold medal. The silver medal goes to the combination of glucose and insulin and your beta cell function. And because that, you know, don't wait until your glucose and your A1C are out of control. You know, that doesn't happen until you're about 50%, you know, pancreas function. I can see when it's 70 or 60 or 50 or 40. Our job is to make it simple for doctors and patients to understand. And most importantly, there are medications that can be used before you have diabetes to improve your pancreas function.
Yeah. Wow.
So measuring glucose in someone without diabetes is cutting edge. Some companies are doing it. In the U.S., all the monitors for continuous glucose require a physician order. So if a physician is providing it, it's off label for someone with prediabetes or you know, but there are companies that have doctors that are agreeing to provide oversight to that kind of monitoring. So that's the status of that. And yes, people who are overweight without diabetes get blood sugar spikes after a high carb, high sugar, high fat meal. And if you can alert the patient to those spikes after meals and manage those, you can probably help them with their weight and with delaying the onset of prediabetes or diabetes. Great question.
And I want to get to Douglas really quick with a question. We may not get to his answer right now, but let's get Douglas on the line. Douglas from Texas. Douglas, what's your question for Dr. Danziger?
It goes back to, as a patient, how do we know what panels to ask our doctors when we go there? I mean, do we ask for a lipid panel? Do we make sure that they get, because I was in the hospital last night, the night before, and apparently they didn't do all the blood work they should have done, but I'm seeing a new cardiologist Tuesday. So as a patient, I want to make sure that he does the right panels, if that makes sense.
It does. And we're going to get to your answer, and we have another cliffhanger here. So we'll give the doctors a moment to think about that, and we'll be right back with the answer. So stay with us.
That's a great question.
That's a
3 years ago, my symptoms started with leg pain and leg cramps while walking.
Me too, with a tightness in my calves.
Well, do you know, my doctor thought that my leg cramps were a side effect of the statin he prescribed me.
Well, my doctor just brushed them off as another symptom of old age.
Mine thought the pain was radiating from my spine.
My doctor blamed my neuropathy on diabetes until I got a wound on my foot that just wouldn't heal.
Yeah, it turns out we all have peripheral artery disease, also known as PAD.
It's plaque buildup mainly in the leg arteries causing poor circulation.
For me, the diagnosis came too late and I lost my leg, but that does not have to happen to you.
No, it does not, because there are treatment options available if you're diagnosed early enough.
PAD. Peripheral artery disease. If you've been experiencing leg pain, leg cramps, or neuropathy when walking, and your doctor isn't hearing you, we are. We are the Way to My Heart, the largest support network for peripheral artery disease patients, and we want to help you get back on your feet again. Visit our website at thewaytomyheart.org or call our Leg Saver hotline, 415-320-7138. Your life and limb could depend on it.
Welcome back to the Heart of Innovation. For more on today's topic, go to theheartofinnovation.org. That's theheartofinnovation.org. Once again, here's Emmy Award-winning journalist Kim McNicholas and interventional cardiologist Dr. John Phillips.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. We're talking about cutting-edge blood work for cardiovascular health. We have Dr. Danziger, medical director for Boston Heart Diagnostics, who's here with Dr. John Phillips and myself. We had Douglas on the line a moment ago who asked the question about what do you ask your cardiovascular doctor when it comes to blood work? He was just in the hospital. He has a defibrillator. He was having episodes and no blood work was performed in the emergency room. What should he ask for when he goes to see the cardiovascular doctor in follow-up next week?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wish there was a simple answer to it. I wish it was as simple as saying, oh, just ask your doctor for advanced lipid testing. But what you need in order for the specialized testing to be effective is a doctor who understands the meaning and the value of the testing. And so you can't just go to your doctor really and expect the conversation to be, oh, doctor, I would like an advanced, you know, lipid panel. And then the doctor say, oh, okay, you're absolutely right. I'll order that right up for you. What you need is to create the opportunity for the doctor to understand the true clinical value of the test. And so actually, you know, and I am convinced that when a doctor has the opportunity to learn the clinical value of the testing, then that doctor will never go back and say that you know, once you understand it, you can't go back. You have to have it. Once you can see, you don't want to be blind. And so what I'd like to do is provide the phone number to give to your doctor so that the doctor can get can learn about the testing. So is it okay if I provide the phone number?
Yeah. Just make sure to repeat it twice so people can write it down.
All right. So for a patient or a doctor to call Boston Heart Diagnostics so that we can provide information and scientific evidence and training, the number for Boston Heart is 877-425-1252. I'll say it again. 877-425-1252. So that's for Boston Heart Diagnostics patients and doctors, or to become a Boston Heart doctor.
And right, and also, it's free. It's there's no charge to it, and it's covered by most insurance.
Yeah, the testing is covered by most insurance, and we also have a website, BostonHeartDiagnostics.com, where a patient or a doctor can start to get an understanding. So we have tons of educational videos and pamphlets and clinical information to help doctors and patients understand the value of the testing. So that's really the step to take.
And I think the value and what I enjoyed with my dad is once you do get the testing is then you can go to the website and for free. You've already had your insurance cover the blood work. And then you can go to their website, and the wellness team over at Boston Heart Diagnostic can use that blood work to customize a meal plan and supplementation plan that you can discuss with your doctor to see if it's right for you. So
this has been a fantastic show. I mean, we've just kind of scratched the surface on cholesterol, lab work, et cetera. And what I'm taking home with the conversation is, for me, I have minimal. I mean, there's certain things I do really well and things I don't do very well. And honestly, managing cholesterol, I'm not an expert at it, but there are experts like Dr. Dantzinger out there that can help you. And I think it's important to know how to reach out to those individuals and get in touch with them.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dantzinger. We really appreciate you for being here, medical director for Boston Heart Diagnostics, doctor for Dr. Phillips, and nurse practitioner Kay Smith. And thank you to Douglas and Susan for calling in as well. And thank you to all of you who are listening in. If you have any further questions, go to theheartofinnovation.org and connect with us there. But have a great weekend, everyone. And we will see you next week, where we're going to be talking about your feet and the summer, how to take care of your beautiful piggies in the summer. And
you've been listening to The Heart of Innovation with Emmy Award-winning journalist Kim McNicholas and interventional cardiologist Dr. John Phillips. Our mission is to help patients live a better quality of life through comprehensive education, real-time support, and high-touch advocacy in partnership with thewaytomyheart.org and Take a Stand Against Amputation. Our purpose is to reduce the 1.5 million heart attacks and strokes and nearly 200,000 amputations annually. For more information regarding topics you've heard discussed on today's program, go to theheartofinnovation.org. That's theheartofinnovation.org. The Heart of Innovation is for educational and informational purposes only, and advice and views shared are not a substitute for medical advice from your own supervising physician. Do not act on any information provided in this show without the explicit consent from your own healthcare team. If you think you are having a medical emergency, call your local emergency number or go to the nearest hospital or emergency room.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.